This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program, my friend. Today, we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday. I'm teaching my brand new series called What Jesus Said about the final say-so of God's Word. I'm doing a whole bunch of series this year called What Jesus Said About, and then we add the next statement. And right now, we're teaching What Jesus Said About the final say-so of God's Word. My friends, if you want God's Word to produce its full effect in you, then it's got to have a final say-so in your life. But I know this five-part series, which comes in all kinds of formats with a tremendous study guide. Wow! We put so much work into these study guides because we want you to be able to see all the information while you're hearing or seeing the programs, because we want this teaching to really get down deep inside you. But anyway, all these things are available for you. And I want to tell you about Kenneth E. Hagin's book called The Authority of the Believer. It's a book that I read very early in my life, and I've read it multiple times because we need to really understand the authority that we have in Jesus and what happens when God's Word has the final say-so in your life. The Authority of the Believer by Kenneth E. Hagin. If you don't have it, why not? It is a book you need to read. And right now, and every day this week, we want to provide for you beautifully designed confessions about the Word of God. You can hang them on your refrigerator or put them on your mirror or put them somewhere in your house to remind yourself that you need to give God's Word the final say-so in your life. You know, we're living in a day when people are beginning to really denigrate the Word of God. They say it's no longer valuable, it's not relevant for the times that we're living in, and people are dismissing it or they're discounting it as one resource among many resources. My friends, if that's the way you view the Bible, then the Bible will never release its power in your life. There is a reason why I end every one of my programs with Ecclesiastes 8:4. It says, where the word of a king is, there's power. And when you receive the Word of God as the King's Word, it releases power in your life. And we saw in yesterday's episode that when God's Word has the final say-so in your life, it releases creative power into your life. It brings new smells into your life. It brings the music of heaven into your life. But you've really got to give God's Word the final say-so in your life for that power, that smell, that music to come in your life. And my friends, that's why I'm teaching this series. But you can find out about all these things by going online or by giving us a call. And we also want to pray for you. So please, when you reach out to us, by calling that number on the screen or by going online, you could just send us an email. Either way, when we hear from you, we're going to really pray. And if you've ever reached out to us before, you know that you don't get away from us without really being scripturally prayed for. We're going to pray, and Jesus is really going to hear us, and Jesus is going to do what needs to be done in your life. But I want you to reach for your Bible, and today we're returning to giving God's Word the final say-so in our life. And today we're going to see the results of keeping or disobeying God's Word. But I want to begin again with the pledge that I made as a little Baptist boy when I was growing up in Vacation Bible School. Oh, how I loved Vacation Bible School. It was one of my favorite moments of the year, every single summer. And maybe you grew up a Southern Baptist, or maybe you grew up in some other denomination, but you went to Vacation Bible School. We would march into the auditorium. We would take our seats. And the moment would come when we would pledge allegiance to the Christian flag. And then we'd put our hand on our heart and we would say, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, that I may not sin against God. I said it with all of my heart. And from that time until this time, I have given God's word the final say-so in my life. Now, all of us make mistakes, but to the best of my ability, if I know what the Bible says, then I align my thinking and my behavior with what the Bible says. I give it the final say-so in my life. And my friends, we saw yesterday, now I want to return there to Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, the great respect that Jesus had for the Word of God. And of course, He was the Word of God. But listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Here we have the enormous respect and honor that Jesus had for the Scriptures. It was not just one resource among others for Him. It was the final say-so. And in fact, Jesus said not one jot. In Greek, it is the word iota. The word iota describes the smallest little letter in the Greek language. So now Jesus says not even the smallest letter in the alphabet of the Greek language of which the Scriptures was written in the Septuagint version. Then He says, not one tittle. The word tittle describes one stroke of a letter, one stroke of the brush. So Jesus says, every marking, every stroke of the brush, even the smallest letter of the alphabet that is used in the Scriptures, shall in no wise pass. And in Greek, it's a double negative. No, it shall not pass until all be fulfilled. And notice also in this verse, Jesus refers to the Scripture as the law. Well, the word law, the Greek word nomos, was used among the Jews to describe the sacred Scriptures. It's talking about the Bible. It's talking about the Word of God. And for Jesus, the Scriptures were not optional. They were law. They had a final say-so. And if this was the view that Jesus had about the Bible, then it needs to be the view that we have about the Bible. It needs to be a law to us. And that's what Jesus now says in this verse. And then in verse 19, Jesus continued to say, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach other men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven." Well, let's dive into this verse. It says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments," and the word break is a form of the Greek word luo. The word luo means to loosen or to relax, to let slip. It means to release your grip, or it describes a non-serious attitude toward any of the Scriptures. So Jesus says, "Whosoever therefore shall loosen or become relaxed in regard to the Word of God, whoever will loosen his grip or have a non-serious attitude even toward the least commandment." And the word commandment gives us Jesus' view of the Scriptures, and it needs to be our view. It is a commandment. You say, well, what does the word commandment really mean? Well, in Greek, it is the word entole. It is a compound of two words. It's a compound of en and the word telos. The word en means in, as something that exists in a certain form. And the word telos describes that which is complete, mature, or perfect. But when you compound the two words together, it forms the word entole, which means the Word of God is in complete perfection. Complete perfection. But the word telos also speaks of reaching the ultimate end of a thing. And hence, the word entole, the whole word, which is translated commandment, describes the perfect commandment, the perfect commandment. And we find that one's obedience to it enables him to attain a level of completion, maturity, and perfection, which means inherent in the Word of God is the ability to be complete, mature, and perfect. It brings you into completeness. The Word of God is to bring you into maturity. It is to bring you into perfection. But if you're going to enter into that completeness, that maturity, and that perfection, you have to give it the final say-so in your life. But wait, then Jesus goes on in Matthew 5, 19 and says, are you ready for this? "But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And here we're called upon to do the Word of God, not just to hear it. This is why James says in James chapter 1, don't be hearers only, but do what you've heard. Jesus says, whosoever does the Word of God, in other words, it has such a final say so in your life that you're going to align yourself with what it says and what it prescribes. And guess what the word do is a form of the Greek word poieo, which means not only to do, but to creatively do, which means sometimes you got to get really creative in the way that you're going to do what Jesus says, in the way you're going to do the Bible. But it says, whosoever shall do and teach them, and this word teach is a form of the Greek word didasko, which means to teach either by instruction or by example. So here we find that not only are we to do the Word of God, but we're to do it in our example so others can see it and replicate what we do. Whoever shall do them, the same shall be called great. The word great is a form of the Greek word mega. A better translation would be, this person will be very significant in the kingdom of heaven. So when you do the Word of God, it makes you great, it makes you significant. But now I want you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. We're talking about giving the Word of God the final say-so in our life. In life, storms come. But when you've built your life upon the Word of God, you've built your life upon a rock. I'm talking about giving the Word of God the final say-so in your life. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Now, there's so much in this verse that I want us to take it very slowly and really unpack this verse. This verse describes what happens when you give God's Word the final say-so in your life, and when you do it, and the word doeth again, is the Greek word poieo, which means not just to do, but to creatively do, which means you may have to find a way to apply that verse to your life, but you're going to do it because God's Word has the final say-so in your life. Jesus says, if you don't just hear, but actually do the Word of God, He says, I will liken that person unto a wise man. And the word wise in Greek describes someone who is intelligent, someone that is thoughtful, someone that is sensible, or somebody that is smart. So Jesus is literally saying, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and finds a way to do them, I will liken him unto a smart man which built his house upon a rock. And the word built is an architectural term, which means to build from scratch or to expand. So here we have a picture of a person that's either building his life from scratch or he's trying to develop his life and expand his life. The word house is actually a form of the Greek word oikia. It describes a house, a household, a family, or figuratively, it can picture one's life. So if you're building your life, if you're building your family, if you're building your household, and you're doing what Jesus says along the way and aligning your life with His Word, finding a way to do it, Jesus said, you're somebody that's building your life, your house, your family, all that you have upon a rock. And the word upon is the Greek word epi, which means literally upon a rock. And in Greek, the words a rock is actually ten petron. The word ten is a definite article. The word petron is a form of petra, which means a rock. But when you put the two words together, because of the definite article, it means upon the rock, which means Jesus' word or God's word is the rock of all rocks. And when you hear His word and you align yourself in agreement with His word and give it the final say-so in your life, it gives you the supernatural ability to construct your family, your household, your business, your life upon the rock of all rocks. Now, that doesn't mean storms won't come. And that's why Jesus continued in the next verse to say, verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. The word rain describes a downpour in the original Greek language. The word descended, the Greek word katabaino, the word kata describes something that's coming down so hard that it is conquering, it's subjugating, it's crushing. The second part of the word is bino, which means to step or to move. When you put the two words together, it describes a pounding, pounding, pounding rain. The word floods is the plural form of the Greek word potamos. Because it's plural, it means many, many, many floods, but it's actually the Greek word for a river. It's rivers and rivers of flooding water. The words winds blew describe violent turbulence or violent wind. And verse 25 says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat up on. Beat up on in Greek means to assault, to beat upon, to literally fall upon that house. And the word house is again a form of the Greek word oikia, which pictures a house, a family, a household, or whatever you're building with your life. So here Jesus says, in life, the rains do come. And my friends, they do. I've experienced a lot of it in my life. I'm talking about a downpour. It says the floods come, rivers of torrential water coming against you. Winds blow. They can be turbulent, they can be violent, and they beat upon the house, your life, what you're building, and you can feel sometimes you are under assault. But Jesus says, this particular house fell not. And in Greek, the word not is the word ouk. It is the strongest word for not in the Greek language. Here it means emphatically not. It surely did not fall, for it was founded upon a rock. And the word founded to form the Greek word themelio, which means to be established, to be grounded, or to be founded. And the words a rock is the very same phrase we saw before, ten petron. Ten is a definite article. The word petron is from petra, which means rock. Put it together. They were founded upon the rock of all rocks. And what is that? Jesus said it is his sayings, or it is the Bible. The Word of God. When the Word of God has the final say-so in your life is constructed on the rock of all rocks. And even when the rain comes, even when the floods come, even when the violent winds and turbulence come, and it seems like you're being assaulted and your life is just being pounded and pounded, you will not fall because you've given God's Word the final say-so in your life. And you've grounded and established your life upon the Scriptures. This is not my words. This is what Jesus says. But then there's the other person. And the next kind of person is described in Matthew 7, verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, doeth them not. In Greek, it really pictures a person who hears it but habitually does not do. The word doeth is again a form of the Greek word poie, which means to creatively do. And by the way, it insinuates that sometimes you got to get really creative in finding a way to do what you've been instructed to do. It's not always easy, but you're determined God's Word has the final say-so in your life, and you're going to be obedient to it. That here we have a man who hears what God says, but he doesn't align his life according to it. God's Word really doesn't have the final say-so in his life. He is not really practicing what the Bible says. And doeth them not, Jesus said he, on the other hand, is going to be likened unto a foolish man. Now, the word foolish is not a politically correct word in today's world because it is the Greek word moros. And the word moros describes one that is dull, one that is dumb, or one that is stupid, and it is where we get the word for a moron, a moron. It is one lacking common sense. Remember in the previous verse, Jesus said when you align your life with his teachings and with the Word of God, you're smart, you're intelligent, you are sensible. But if you hear the Word of God and you don't practice it in your life, Jesus says, I will liken that person to a foolish man or unto a moron. That's really what it means. One lacking common sense, which built his house. And again, the word house is a form of the Greek word oikia. He's building his life, his family, everything that he is. Jesus says, upon the sand, the sand. And here again, we have a definite article. The definite article is used with the Greek word for sand. And here it pictures the sand, or it pictures shifting sands or an unstable foundation. My friends, that is not a foundation you want to build your life on. And verse 27 prophesies about this person. And it says, "For the rain descended," the rain comes. It says, "And the floods came," floods come. "And the winds blew," these are violent and tempestuous winds, "and beat upon that house." And the word "beat upon" again means to assault, to pound, to fall upon, to tragically strike. "And it fell." The house fell. And this word "fell" is the Greek word "pipto," which means not just to fall, but to fall hard or to completely collapse. "And it fell, and great was the fall of it." The word "great" is a form of the Greek word "megale," which means enormous was the fall of it. And this particular word "fall" describes a downfall, an irreversible ruin, or a complete collapse. So Jesus gives us two options. Number one, those who hear his sayings and they give it the final say-so in their life and they do it. They're going to do it even if they have to find a way to do it. This builds them up on the rock. And my friends, when you're built on that rock, your life and what you build will not collapse. Option number two, hear the word of God, but not do it, not take it serious. Just take it as another resource among other resources. You don't really do it. You know what it says, but you don't practice it. Jesus says that person is building their life on shifting sands. And when the storms and the river and the wind come to beat upon that house, it will collapse, and great, enormous will be the complete collapse of it. And this is why it is so important that you give God's word the final say-so in your life. I'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you.
God's word is not optional. It's a law to us, just as it was to Jesus. In Rick Renner's new series, What Jesus Said About the Final Say-So of God's Word, you will learn how fully surrendering to Scripture brings the full power of the King into your life. In this series, Rick teaches that God's Word must be your final authority in every decision, that obedience to God's Word opens the door to His creative power and blessings and more. This powerful series is available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $11. In addition to this teaching series, we are offering you the book, The Believer's Authority, by Kenneth E. Hagin, a deeply impactful classic about the power and authority available to all believers when they act on the Word. The Believer's Authority can be yours for just $10. As our free gift to you, we also want to offer you your own copy of the beautifully designed Pledges to the Word of God print, filled with declarations about the Word of God. Don't miss this special offer, the series, What Jesus Said About the Final Say-So of God's Word, the book, The Believer's Authority, and the free Pledges to the Word of God print. Call the number on your screen now or go to renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
This is Rick Renner, and I want to say thank you to those of you who are partners. You're helping us to do our part in fulfilling the Great Commission to take the gospel and the teaching of God's Word to the ends of the earth. And one major focus of mine has been the RIV, which is the Renner Interpretive Version of the New Testament. To do a new interpretation of the New Testament takes reams of hours, literally thousands of hours, of studying and studying and studying the original language of the New Testament, and then figuring out a way to express it in words which people understand today, and to bring all the flavor and all the nuances of those Greek words into an up-to-date interpretation. That's the RIV. And I want to say thank you for your gifts. Because of what you give, it allows us to focus on the teaching of the Bible and to take the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. And what you are doing is really making a difference. And if you're listening to me today and you're not a partner yet, I invite you to become a part of our partner family. Our partners really are family to us. And together, we're making a difference in people's lives. So if you're a partner, I say thank you. And if you're not a partner yet, I invite you today to join us as we take the wonderful teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. Well, tomorrow I'm going to come back and pick up right here. We're talking about giving God's Word the final say-so in your life. This is a five-part series which will really establish you on a rock for your life. Oh, my friends, this would be so good for you or for somebody that you know and love. And I'm excited to tell you about Kenneth E. Hagin's book, which is called The Authority of the Believer. It changed my life. I believe it will change your life as well. You need to know the authority that you've been given and what happens when you give God's Word the final say-so in your life. And we're making available to you for free a beautifully designed sheet of confessions about God's Word. You can go online to download it or call us to find out about all these resources. Or if you call us, we'll send you a printed version of these confessions. But please reach out to us, and when you do, please let us know how to pray for you. And I want to pray for you right now, so put your hand on your heart. Father, we want to build our lives in a way that we will survive anything that comes against us. And Lord, things do come. So help us not just to hear what you say, but help us to give your Word the final say-so in our life and to do what you say and to establish our life in an unshakable, undefeatable way. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll see you in the next program, but remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. Hey friends, this is Rick Renner, and Denise and I are coming to the United States for a brief trip, and we want to invite you to come to some of our meetings. On Sunday, April the 19th, we'll be ministering at Vertical Church in West Haven, Connecticut, with Pastors Ken and Kathy Vance. Then on Wednesday through Sunday, April the 22nd to 26th, I'll be speaking at Perry Stone's wonderful 2026 Prophetic Summit in Cleveland, Tennessee. Then on Sunday, May the 3rd, I'll be speaking at Resurrection Life in Granville, Michigan, with Pastors Dwayne and Jeannie Vanderklok. Friend, if you can come to any of these meetings, Denise and I would just be so thrilled to see you. But please go online or give us a call to make sure none of the dates or times have changed.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
If you just prayed the prayer of salvation with us, would you please let us know by going to renner.org/salvation? We would love to connect with you. Thank you for joining Rick Renner today. For more information about Renner Ministries and product resources, visit renner.org.
This program was made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries.